doing volume 2. Sell the books, and rather than $12, is what we've been charging for them, $10 here at the conference. So there's a conference special going on back there. So I appreciate, if you want one of these, they're back there in the back for you to do, or to get. And if you want to give more than $10, then that's, you know, you'll just get more blessing. Pardon me? Well, that was a $2 deduction. I assumed that going in. Oh, great. It's great to be here. We love Chattanooga. We love Steve and Mary. I have enjoyed the two young ladies and the special music, but I want to give a special thanks for these people who play these instruments. Great job. President Bush came in on the helicopter at the White House just last week. And when he got off the helicopter, he had two pigs, one under each arm. Did anybody see that when he landed? You saw that? Had two pigs under each arm, and the Marine Guard snaps to attention and said, "Nice pigs, sir." He says, "These are not pigs. These are genuine Arkansas Razorback, you know, hogs. I got one for Senator Hillary Clinton and one for Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi." And the Marine snapped to attention. He said, "Good trade, sir." That would be a good trade, wouldn't it? Get your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 6. Jane, is he awake? He's awake. Got one back there that I'm going to promise I'm going to try to keep awake, so I'll try to speak as loudly as I can so that he won't go to sleep. As if I had a problem, right? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father and our God, we're thankful for each opportunity we have to fellowship. We thank you for the message that Sean gave earlier, and all of us need to be aware that we need to be doing more for the cause of Christ and to share with other people how to rightly divide the word of truth. We ask you to bless the teaching tonight. Every person who is here, we thank you for their presence, and when they go back, whenever they go back, we ask for safe traveling mercies. For Christ's sake, amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. I've been spending about the last 17 or 18 months in my Bible classes in the Nashville area in the book of Galatians. We've been talking about law and grace. Some of our people comment that I can't believe we're still in chapter 5. I've been gone 3 weeks and I come back and you're still there. But sometimes it just takes a lot of time to get through certain verses. But in Romans chapter 6, I'm going to talk about the same thing that we've been studying in Galatians, and we're going to refer to Galatians in a moment. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." If you go to Exodus chapter 20, you don't have to go there, you will find that in that book are the Ten Commandments, the law of old, the Ten Commandments. Ask you, now we're going to have a lot of interaction tonight. I want you to do that because I see some of you nodding over there, so we'll try to keep you awake too. What we want to do is, who was that written to? How do you know that? Pardon? That's who was sitting there. So there's no question that the Ten Commandments was given to Moses, and Moses was a Jew. Is that correct? So then we know that it was given to the Jew. Was it given to the Egyptians? They just came out of Egypt. Was it given to the Turks? Was it given to the Greeks? Was it given to the United States of America? So then, if it wasn't given to any of those countries, it must have been given only to one, right? The Jew. So then, why do you suppose that many of our churches today want to place their congregations under the law? control them? Okay. What would you say if I said that nothing in the Old Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in Hebrews through Revelation, has anything to do with salvation for you and I today? Would you say amen to that? So then, what we have are 13 books, basically, written by the Apostle Paul, that determine how one is to be saved today, determine how one is to live today, for us to see and enjoy the liberty we have in Christ today. So why would you want to not look at those more in detail? Now, I know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for various different things, but I know that the books of Romans through Philemon are written specifically to me, to you, in this age of grace. It's kind of like going to the post office, right? And you've heard this expression oftentimes. There are a lot of mail in my mailbox that says occupant. How many of you get so many of those, you just throw them away, right? So, but there are some pieces of mail that are addressed to Linda or to me. Now, should I open Linda's mail? Not if I don't want to get hit. I open the mail for me, she opens the mail for her, and there are these books here that I just talked about, Romans through Philemon, that are specific to us. And so consequently, the fact is, Israel was a nation that God brought out of Egypt, and Israel's ceremonial laws are even more exclusive of the Gentiles. 20th century believers and the law. Too many believers today believe they can grow into a better relationship with God by doing something or not doing something. Correct? Wrong. I mean, that is correct, but it's wrong, isn't it? Some in the arena of Christendom have instilled in the minds of the followers or those who they are churched with that sin has been broken down into two categories. Now, I come from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. When I went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana from Alexandria, Louisiana, anybody know anything about Louisiana? Alexandria, Louisiana is right in the middle. It's between North Louisiana rednecks and South Louisiana Coonasses. And that's the way it is, okay? Now, it's not a bad word in Louisiana. That's what people call themselves. You call them Cajuns, they call themselves otherwise. And the thing about it is, Alexandria is right in the middle of those. When I went down to Baton Rouge, I had a rude awakening. 95% of the population were Catholic. So, I spent about 3 years learning about Catholicism because everyone in my Bible class, with the exception of one or two out of 30, from a Catholic background. What I learned is there are only two groups of sin in the Catholic religion. You know what they are? Mortal and venial, right? What's mortal sins? I'm going to read what it came out of Catechism. It says right here, mortal sin is a grievous offense or transgression against the law of God. Mortal sin is so called because it kills the soul by depriving it of its true life, which is sanctifying grace, and because it brings everlasting death and damnation to the soul. Venial sins does not deprive the soul of sanctifying grace or deserves everlasting punishment, but it hurts the soul by lessening its love for God and disposing it to mortal sin. Did you understand that? Huh? What it says is if you murder, you rape, or you do something like that's a mortal sin, but if you sin, you know, a little sin by just go taking that grape from the grocery store, then, you know, it didn't affect your grace, so that's okay. It's just a venial sin. What does God say? A sin is a sin is a sin. It doesn't make any difference. A little old bitty white lie is just as much a sin as that someone going out there and shooting somebody. Oh, you don't believe that? That's what it is, right? We know that every person born into this world as a little bitty baby, and some of you don't want to hear that, are born in sin. We got it from our great-granddaddy Adam. The minute he ate that grape, no, it wasn't an apple. The minute he ate that grape, sin entered into him. And every child that's been born has been born in the image of Adam and not in the image of God as everyone presupposes. So consequently, each and every one of us, as Sean so eloquently put, is born in sin. We all sin. Oh, I know, Doug, that you're a good person, but you're still a sinner. Right? How many of you have heard this story before from someone else? My mother was the best woman in all of Mississippi. Man, if there ever was a saint, it was her. And I know that she's going to heaven based upon her goodness. Wrong. My mother was one of the best women I've ever known. But she was half Indian. And when she got mad, sailors couldn't get as mad as my mom. She didn't cuss that much. Her sister Vivian did, but not my mama. But she could get mad. Great woman that she was a sinner. As much as I love my mother, she was a sinner. How many of you have in your family great people? Let me see. Good people. You would attest to it, right? How many of you, now don't lie, got something in the wood pile over there on your side? Okay? Right? We all have them, don't we? We have the good, the bad, and the ugly. It doesn't make any difference if they're really good or really bad. They're all sinners. And we have to accept the fact that we are. But because of this false distinction, we just talked about mortal and venial sins, between sins, people think they can do something or not do something that will please God. And in reality, it robs one of what? Grace. The freedom of grace. I was talking to my class last night. It's one thing to read about grace, talk about grace. It's another thing to live grace. Do you really live it? What do I mean? Well, accepting what you have is a gift. But in order to really possess it, you've got to share it with someone else. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, bear one another's burden, but if you can't, you know, but you're going to have to bear your own. Right? That don't seem fair, does it? God asks us to bear one another's burdens, but in the fifth verse down there in Galatians chapter 5, he says, nonetheless, you bear your own. You see, we understand grace more when we're able to see someone in need and we help them along the way. Not grudgingly, but graciously. But if no one else helps you when you're down, you do it yourself. Okay? We have grown up in a society of welfare where people are expecting something for nothing from someone else. God gave willingly of His life for you and I. How many of you ever at any time in your life have pictured that cross? How many of you have felt the pain and the agony of Jesus Christ on the cross and said, He did it for me? That's what He did. He did it for you and I. The Jesuits teach that sin consists in act and is only sinful if there is an evil intent. What's the most dangerous religious sect in the world today? Jesuits. How many of you know that there's a black pope in addition to the pope that you hear about all the time? How many of you know that? Whoo! Some of you ex-Catholics, right? The Jesuit pope, black pope, as he is called, has more power within the Catholic Church than the present pope does. And you know what? They think anybody outside Catholics are evil. Ever heard of the Spanish Inquisition? What happened to the Spanish Inquisition? E.C., you lived back in that time. What happened? Back in the 1500s, remember back there? Anybody that didn't believe the way that the Roman Catholic Church believed were put to death as heretics. I'm reading an interesting book. It's called John Adams, Party of One. And he tells about his trip when he left the United States and went through Spain and France. 200,000 priests in Spain alone, 25% of the population for Spain at that time. It was not a Spanish state, it was a Roman Catholic state. I had a good dear friend that was pastor of Altoona Bible Church in Pennsylvania. His name is Henry Culp. Some of you people might have heard of him, but he used to love to come to Louisiana. If I hadn't invited him to come, he'd say, "Ain't about time I come down there again." He loved oysters. And we would go down to Felix Oyster Bar in New Orleans, Louisiana, every time Henry would come down. Well, Henry was a proponent of grace and did not like the things that Catholicism had done to some of his people. So he was a big Catholic, you know, basher, I guess you would call him that. Maybe we shouldn't do that, but then Paul says, you know, I would that they were dead or something. Anyway, the thing about it, he says something like that somewhere. I remember seeing that. But he was eating oysters up there and got some lodged in his throat, one of the shells. The only hospital there was a Catholic hospital. He died. Many people believe that he should not have, because it's very simple. But you know what? There are people out there who are evil in this world with other churches who will make fun of you for what you believe. I lived through it in Baton Rouge. E.C. Moore's lived through it for 120 years. But as long as you stand up for the truth, you're going to be ridiculed. But you know what? You've got a burden to bear. Go to Galatians chapter 5. What does Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 say? Someone knows what it's about, the heart. Anybody know what it says? And you can trust it, right? How many of you have ever told your spouse, "I love you with all my heart"? Desperately wicked. Spouses, when your spouse tells you they love you with all their liver, you can put it down, because that's the seat of emotion. But when they say, I love you with all my heart, forget about it. That's the truth. Did you know liver is where emotion, the seat of emotion, is in the liver? I love you with all my liver. That would be a great song, wouldn't it? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath what? Made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In verse 13 it says, but what? For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It says, restore, to make complete. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. It is your responsibility, my responsibility, to bear one another's burdens. If someone is overtaken in a fault, we ought to do what? Restore that one. Go to them. How many times, though, someone says, well, Lord, help, I saw him over in the bar last night coming out of there with two hookers and one on each arm. I'm not going to have anything to do with that person. Why not? Just because they didn't see you cheat on your income tax doesn't mean that you're any different than they are. And you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have cheated a little bit on your income tax? Just didn't claim some of that money came in cash. That's a venial. That's a venial sin. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. God took man from under the law to live in grace and produce righteousness, which is impossible in a legal relationship. You cannot legislate righteousness. And that's what the law does, doesn't it? It legislates what you can, what you can't do. But it can't legislate righteousness. Galatians 3, 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But even more startling, Galatians 5, 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is the debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Not you lose your salvation, but you fall from grace. Now, what we've been talking about that, so how do we fall from grace? Pardon? Submitting to the law. How many denominational people do you know submit to the law every day because of the doctrinal position of that church? As a Southern Baptist, the more you did, the more jewels you got in your crown. You believe that? I did. You see, I was chairman of the deacons. I was chairman of the finance committee. I was the choir director. I taught a Sunday school class, college and career, 75 to 100 people every Sunday morning. I went on Tuesday night visitation, Thursday night choir practice, Wednesday night prayer meeting, and Sunday night BYPU, that's the Baptist Young People's Union, became training union after before that.
But I remember back there. Remember in training union, those of you ex-Baptists, did you get graded? You had a little old card you filled out, and it said, what? Daily Bible reading, so many points. going to see a sick person,
so many points,
whatever it was. Why, heck, I learned how to lie right there in training you. I wasn't about to check, everything had to be checked off, so I'd have 100%. Right? Training union taught me to lie.
I didn't understand grace, did I? Neither did they. Neither did they. God knew from the foundation of the world that the Gentiles would be holy apart from Israel. And He planned it before the foundation of the world. Folks, the Jewish people are not God's people today, chosen so. Why? They are low Ammonites. But before God ever called out Abraham, way back over there, before He ever created heaven and earth, He chose us to be representatives during this critical time. You are special, friend. God chose you before He chose Abraham. What are you doing about it? Are you sharing the truth to someone? Are you bearing the burdens of someone? Are you trying to show someone that the law has robbed them of a liberty that they can have if they are saved? Can you go out there and share that with someone genuinely in love and help them along the way? We need to do more of that. It's wonderful. I've been talking to some people, and Steve, in church, that there's been an increase of people coming in because of the ministry, the website, and those kinds of things. It's exciting when we see that. It's exciting for me. Steve sent me an email, several months ago. Roger, how long ago was that? Back in April. Steve sent me an email about a young man, Roger Abernathy, sitting right over there, that had gotten word of, on his website or something. He sent me an email, this guy's interested. I called him. I'm going to put you on the spot, okay? He says, do you have anything closer over here to where I live? I said, no, but I got two places you can go to. We'd love to have you. And he hasn't missed a class since then. Praise God. It's great. It happens. So Israel refused the grace of God, and Paul was called to preach it and to be the apostle for that. Folks, statement of fact, God alone is our judge, not some law, not some preacher, not some pope. Christ died and it's settled. We're not under the law but under grace. We are complete in Him according to Colossians chapter 2. And every one of us need to praise God for it. Thank you.